When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on a Football Friday, it is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Sirius XM Channel 159 and all across the Sports Grid Network. It's Ben Stevens and Scott Wetzel rolling with you here on a Football Friday on FFC. Scott setting the stage for the Sunday slate around the NFL in week number 11. Week 11 kicking off last night in Baltimore between the Ravens and the Bengals. Scott, a huge game going in, a divisional duel between two teams we expect to be in the AFC postseason mix at the end of the year. Two teams we expected before the year got underway to contend for that conference championship. Scott, there is the game last night, what we saw on the field in the Charm City, the result and the outcome, a Baltimore 14-point win, and then the injury aftermath that will plague both of these teams, it seems, through the home stretch of this NFL season. Scott, a lot to get to here on this Football Friday on FFC.
Yeah, and was there an injury? Wasn't there an injury beforehand? You know, the picture showing Joe Burrow walking into the stadium, right, with a cast or some kind of pad on his wrist. Coach afterwards saying, I don't know, you know, pulling a Jim Harbaugh. I don't know anything. Were we a cast? What? Who? Injury? No, don't ask me. So now the Bengals are under investigation with that issue. I tell you, you know, if I'm Kyle McCord, you know, I might go to Ohio State and say, you know, Coach, I don't know if I want to play this weekend because 2 days ago we got Deshaun Watson out for the season. Last night, we got Cincinnati's quarterback, you know, out for who knows how long, maybe the rest of the season. And, you know, that's not been a good, good couple of days here for Ohio quarterbacks. So, no. But a lot to delve into for sure.
And it's all really been a focus, Scott, in the AFC North, a division that entering week 11 was the only one in the National Football League that had all four teams above 500 or even all four at 500 or even a couple of teams with a winning record. That has not been the case around much of the NFL, the best of the eight divisions by a good margin. Let's bring in that Sirius XM audience here, Channel 159 on Sirius XM is the home for Sports Grid Radio. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. It's a Football Friday, getting you ready for the Sunday slate around week number 11 and a look at the penultimate second to last Saturday of this college football regular season. Scott, we go back to last night. Thursday night football kicks off week number 11. A really good Thursday night football game finally between the Ravens and the Bengals, at least on paper, before injuries change the course of the game and maybe the season for the Bengals. Joe Burrow, Scott, after throwing a touchdown pass midway through the second quarter, agonizing pain after throwing that touchdown pass, which at the time, since he led 10-7, comes out of the football game, tries to throw a few passes on the sideline, unable to do so. He was ruled out for the remainder of the game in the second half. Baltimore takes advantage. The Ravens win by two touchdowns, 34-20, covering as a 3.5-point home favorite. Scott, finally, in an NFL primetime game, we saw an over. The closing total of 46.5 flies over with 54 total points.
Yeah. You know, and watching the game last night, you know, listen, I know Al Michaels is old school. He's great, right? No knocking him. But enough already, Ben, of pretending that the whole world's not betting on this football game. You know, when they scored that last touchdown or the second to last touchdown and pushed it to an over, he's like, oh, that's really important to some people. I mean, stop, Al, please. It's 2023. The whole world is gambling. We all know the over-under just went over. You could say it. You don't have to throw it out there the entire game, but you don't have to hide from it anymore. He's done that so many times now, and it's just like, Al, relax. Gambling's legal. It's not a bad thing anymore. We all do it. So, but yeah, we thought we were going to have a great game, and then, you know, we have a lot of storylines between Lamar Jackson's injury, Mark Andrews' injury, Burrow's injury, but the game itself wasn't exactly great.
Right. That's the case, Scott. We thought it was going to be close, a 3.5-point spread entering. I thought the Bengals would actually cover and maybe win outright. And, Scott, when you think about what happened to Joe Burrow in that football game, as Adam Schefter reported, the NFL investigating the Bengals not listing Joe Burrow on that injury report for Thursday night after cameras caught the Bengals team bus arriving in Baltimore late on Wednesday in a deleted clip with Joe Burrow having some sort of wrap around his wrist and right hand. Zach Taylor saying after the game, it's a wrist injury. No clear timetable, Scott, for Joe Burrow, what his status is moving forward. Scott, we talked about this throughout the week. The Bengals 5-4 entering week number 11 on the outside of the AFC playoff picture, looking in due to the head-to-head tiebreaker in the loss they suffered last week at home against the Houston Texans. But their price still to make the postseason, Scott, before the game got underway, -144. Now, there is no price. I think the FanDuel Sportsbook, a little bit of uncertainty around Joe Burrow's injury status, not posting a number. What we do know, Scott, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers, their price getting a little bit better courtesy of a Bengals loss on Thursday night. Scott, there's also the Ravens side of things, improving to 8-3. They have covered in 7 of their 8 wins this year. They now have a 2-game advantage, Scott, in the win column over both Pittsburgh and Cleveland, who will face off on Sunday. Both the Steelers and the Browns are 6-3. The Ravens now, Scott, -180 to win the AFC North. But with the good comes some bad. Mark Andrews on the opening drive of the game, of course, the outstanding Pro Bowl tight end for the flock and Lamar Jackson's favorite target still, goes down with what John Harbaugh said after the game is a season-ending ankle injury, more than likely.
Yeah, that's a big blow. That's a big blow. And this leads to a pet peeve of mine, Ben. I don't know. You know, watching the game, how many times did we see Lamar Jackson get up after a scramble? You know, he's clearly nursing his ankle, had to be taken out of the game one time. They're reviewing him throughout the entire second half, right? He's clearly got an ankle injury. And Baltimore is up 2 scores late in the game, and they're running plays for Lamar Jackson. I'm like, are you not watching the same game I'm watching? You're up 2 scores. The opposing team's got a backup quarterback. They've scored 3 points up until that point in the second half. Cincinnati's not winning this game. So you don't have to necessarily take Lamar Jackson out of the game, but what are you doing calling bootlegs and running plays for Lamar Jackson? Clearly, he holds the key to your team. We saw the last year and 2 years ago what happened without Lamar. I don't get that, Ben. Are they not watching the same game? They were winning that game. Why would you further risk injury knowing you already lost Mark Andrews? So if you weren't aware of it, you certainly should have been last night, to further extend the injury of Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's stupid. It really is just, I hate calling people stupid, but that's just dumb. I mean, there's 6 minutes left. They're up 2 touchdowns. They're in field goal range. You got the best kicker maybe in the history of the NFL. And they're running bootlegs for Lamar Jackson, who can barely get up. I don't get it. I just don't understand that play calling from Baltimore last night.
Yeah, we saw Lamar Jackson on the sideline for some plays late in the football game. If he goes down, the whole thing is a completely different scenario, because right now, Scott, Baltimore 8-3, the second best win percentage currently in the AFC, only behind the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens only behind the Chiefs in the odds as well. The Chiefs the favorites to win the AFC at +185. But what stood out to me, Scott, the price on the flock actually growing a little bit longer after a huge divisional victory by 2 touchdowns against against the Bengals last night. It was 4-1 before the night got underway. Now plus 450, tied for the second best price alongside the Miami Dolphins. Maybe the injury to the tight end Mark Andrews a little bit more significant than just a tight end being out for the remainder of the 2023 NFL season. We'll continue to look at the aftermath of Thursday Night Football, what it means for the AFC North in the Week 11 Sunday slate. Up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. So, Scott, the great thing about the game last night in the AFC North is not just the impact that the outcome had for both Baltimore and Cincinnati, but what it means now for this division with another divisional duel on the slate on Sunday in Cleveland between the Browns and the Steelers. Again, the Ravens, the best record in the AFC North entering, only improving that from a 7-3 mark to 8-3 last night. But the injuries to Mark Andrews for an already banged up bunch that was without Marlon Humphrey on the defensive side of the football, without Ronnie Stanley up front on the O-line, to lose Tyler Linderbaum last night, the outstanding second-year center out of Iowa as well. Some injuries stacking up for the Ravens that are slightly concerning. Baltimore still the odds-on favorite in the division at minus 180. But injuries, Scott, has been a theme for the AFC North this week. There's the uncertain status with Cincinnati's Joe Burrow moving forward, and of course, just a few days ago, Scott, it was the big injury bombshell news within the AFC North that Deshaun Watson, due to a new broken bone in his right throwing shoulder, was going to miss the remainder of 2023. And with that second divisional duel in the AFC North, Scott, still to come on Sunday, the Steelers and the Browns in Cleveland, a lot up in the air in this division. Assuming, Scott, there is no tie in the land on Sunday, either the Steelers or the Browns will get the victory and improve to 7-3, only a half game behind Baltimore for that top spot in the AFC North division.
Yeah, and I think if you're the Bengals or the Bills, Raiders, Chargers, you know, Colts, Texans, all those other teams that are battling for the playoff spot, the wild card spot, I would be rooting for the Browns to win. I have more faith in Pittsburgh being able to win these games, albeit close and albeit being outgained, and I get all that stuff, but that's been their MO. I don't have as much faith in Thompson and the Browns, you know, even if they were to win this weekend, to win on the road and win big time games down the stretch. That I still find it peculiar that it's not Walker starting, but okay, we'll assume Stefanski knows his club better than I do, but that is a huge game, and I think, like I said, I think the Steelers could survive a loss. I don't know if the Browns could. I really think that they would be in trouble, but this does, Ben, you know, with this Bengals loss, I mean, it's amazing. All these great teams at the beginning of the year in the AFC, and I still think the AFC is better than the NFC, don't get me wrong, but, you know, Buffalo's not the team we thought they would be. You know, Cincinnati's now got some issues. Browns obviously have some issues. You know, the Chargers are nearly at 4-5, the team we thought they would be. You know, maybe the Broncos, you throw them in there if you thought they were going to be any good at 4-5, not any good. I mean, all these supposed great teams in the AFC, they're all kind of falling by the wayside, and they're the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, kind of left standing is the only team at this point to me that really doesn't have a flaw. Dolphins can't beat any good teams. You know, Jacksonville at 6-3. Yeah, it's 7-2 Kansas City once again.
Yeah, absolutely so, Scott. And when you think about where the AFC is as a whole, Scott, we talked about the playoff picture earlier this week. 14 of the 16 teams on this side of the league in this conference are at 4-5 or better. Only two teams below that number. And when the Texans at the moment entering this week, Scott, have that seventh and final AFC playoff spot with a 5-4 mark, well, if you're 4-5, you're only a game behind. You're certainly not out of the race. That in the hunt graphic is going to be very crowded and jam-packed as we see it throughout the remainder of this regular season. So, Scott, let's focus on that Browns and Steelers game. It's a 1.5-point spread in favor of Cleveland. The money line, minus 112 for the Browns, plus 102 on the other side for the Steelers. Scott, let's start with this. By the time we get to kick on Sunday afternoon in Cleveland, knowing the Browns are without Deshaun Watson, starting the rookie quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson and not P.J. Walker, do you think Cleveland closes as the favored side in this divisional matchup?
You know, I said no yesterday. I'm going to hold to that. But I would have thought by now, now the announcement has absolutely definitely been made. It's not P.J. Walker. It is the rookie. I would have thought it would have flipped by now. But I guess being such a big favorite to start, you know, four and a half in some circles, to flip that almost a whole touchdown, maybe might ask it a little bit too much for the boys in Vegas. But this would be a big, you know, loss for Cleveland because they already lost to Pittsburgh earlier in the year. So they would be – this is really worth a game and a half because they would, you know, be not only just one game in a loss column, but head-to-head, they would lose the head-to-head tiebreaker. So I'm surprised. I would think Pittsburgh would be the favorite. But like I said, Ben, maybe it's just opened up so big that the boys in Vegas say, you know what, we can't give that big of a spread because everyone who bet, you know, Pittsburgh plus the four when it came out, now they can get Cleveland plus two, plus one, even pick them, might be too big for these guys.
Yeah, Scott, it's really interesting, right? Because I think as this plays out more and more, there's the idea as well that Cleveland has a good defense. Pittsburgh has been outgained in all nine of its games. And despite the fact they are 6-3, something's got to give at a certain point. It's not like the Steelers are going to go out there and score 38 points and make you match them to stay in this football game. So if the Browns defense can hold Pittsburgh to 10 to 14 points, DTR, PJ Walker, doesn't matter. They can stay in the football game. And there's that resolve this week before we find out what happens the remainder of the season without Deshaun Watson for the Cleveland Browns. It does bear repeating, though, Scott. Pittsburgh as an underdog this year, 4-2, both straight up and against the spread. We know the numbers under Mike Tomlin, now in year number 17 for the Steelers as an underdog as well. 55-32-5 against the spread, 46-46 straight up. Pittsburgh has won each of its past two games, Scott, and covered, but as the favorite. How about a total, Scott, that's reminiscent of an Iowa and Minnesota football game. 32.5 is now that number between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, and that opened up because I put the opening notes on my website on the NFL page if anyone wants to check them out at 38.5. So that one did drop quite a bit, right? I mean, the point spread, you know, a little bit, but the over, that dropped 6 points, Ben. Now, that's a huge drop. You're right. This has got Iowa and Rutgers, I suppose, written all over it. I'll throw one more good Mike Tomlin, and there's a zillion of them. This guy is just phenomenal as an underdog. He's 19-14 straight up in division games as an underdog for his career, 23-8-2 against the spread in those games.
Wow.
This guy and this team thrives in this role. So if you're a better and you buy into trends, you hope that Cleveland does stay the favorite just because of those records. And say what you want about Kenny Pickett. You know, he's not great. No two ways about it. They've gone 43 straight games without reaching 400 yards in total offense. Obviously not all him, but he is 14-7 in his career against the spread. They find ways to win for this guy, you know, whether it's in spite of him, whether it's because of him, whether that's the style they run, they do win football games. And I'd be surprised if they didn't beat a rookie quarterback this year, this week. Tomlin's great against rookies. If you want one more. Now, he did lose to C.J. Stroud earlier this year, but rookie quarterbacks against Mike Tomlin, 5-28 straight up.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. And Scott, this is the environment, it would seem, for the Pittsburgh Steelers that they want to play in. When the game is only expected to have about 32, 33 points, that's Pittsburgh Steelers football. That's the Steelers music. That's what they're trying to win this football game, 17-14, 14-10, whatever it might be. That's what Pittsburgh wants to play. We'll see how Cleveland responds. Still, Scott, even though they gave up 31 points to Baltimore last weekend, a top six scoring offense, scoring defense, excuse me, in the National Football League. All right, Scott, we're going to fire through the Sunday slate. We'll go in order from the early window to the afternoon stretch. A couple of things to know about the 12-game NFL Sunday slate. Seven of the games, Scott, feature a 7-point spread or more. Four of the 12, 9.5 points is that spread or even greater. So a couple of big numbers here as we get ready for NFL week number 11. Scott, we start with the game in Lambeau. The Packers, a 3-point underdog against the LA Chargers, the over-under 43.5. Three being that key number, Scott, just how important is that field goal number going to be?
I don't think very important. I don't say this too often, but I like the Chargers. But I like this spot. You know, they're really at 4-5. They have to be going into this game saying, this is it. We have to win this game, and they are the better team. So I like the Chargers to win convincingly.
Yeah, Scott, they have not been good as an underdog, LA, this year, but they're both 3-2 straight up and against the spread as a favorite. Listen, the Packers took advantage of Brett Rippon's led LA Rams last week, but that offense is struggling mightily. 2 weeks ago, I should say, they lost to Pittsburgh a weekend ago. We'll come back on Football Full Circle in just a few moments to preview more of Week 11.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I believe there might have been a little hiccup on my end. We apologize for the technical difficulties here on Football Full Circle. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. We are back, fully back on Football Full Circle to preview Week 11 in the NFL Sunday slate live right here on FFC. Scott, we've looked at two games so far for Sunday out of the 12 that we have. The Chargers and the Packers in Green Bay. The Packers a 3-point home underdog. Scott, you believe, as do I, that the Bolts land only 3 on the road. Seeing how the AFC has fallen around them, it's a must-win opportunity for Brandon Staley and the Chargers if they want to stay afloat in that AFC playoff race.
Yeah, 27 is the key, Ben. Do you think Green Bay can score 27 points? I don't think they can. With Justin Herbert as quarterback for the Chargers, when his defense allows 27 or more, he's 6-25. That's awful, right? But when they don't allow 27 points, he's 23-5. I mean, there's some stats out there that we throw, like, okay, you know, but that is a huge, right, line in the sand. You score 27 or less, or, yeah, 26, we'll say, Chargers are going to win that game. And I just don't see that Packers offense getting 27 points. So that's why I like the Chargers as well.
Yeah, and Scott, when you look at it as of this moment, that team total for Green Bay as they enter Sunday at home as the underdog, only 20.5, and the under has some juice. Listen, the Packers offense is struggling. Jordan Love has the worst completion percentage around the National Football League for any starting quarterback that has made 4 or more starts this year. That will be the onus for Green Bay to stay in this football game as the underdog. Scott, as the dog this year, the Green Bay Packers, not a good cover percentage at this point. All right, as we go through the Week 11 Sunday slate, Scott, again, there's a lot of big spreads on this Sunday. 7 games that feature a touchdown number or greater, including in Jacksonville, an AFC South showdown between the Jaguars and the Titans. The over-under, 40.5. Scott, the Jags, wildly disappointing last week. The hottest team in the NFL entering their bye looked like the time off wasn't a good thing. They had won 5 straight last week at home hosting the San Francisco 49ers. They lost 34-3. How does Jacksonville, Scott, bounce back and respond against this Tennessee team on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I'm kind of waving a white flag on his Tennessee team. I thought they would be better. I didn't think Tannehill would be out as quarterback as he is right now. So this team is going in the wrong direction. I think Jacksonville, listen, 6.5, 7 points, depending on where, when you do your shop, it's a big number to lay. But Titans have gone 28 straight games without scoring 30 points. And that's, you know, 30 is a decent number, but we're talking 2 seasons now. I mean, that's the longest current streak in the NFL. I think Jacksonville comes out with a monster effort playing as poorly as they did last week. So I like Tennessee. Will Levis, you know, as great as he looked week number one, his last 2 weeks have been awful. He's got the 4th lowest success rate of any quarterback in the NFL that's played a decent amount of plays, ahead of only the likes of Tommy DeVito, Zach Wilson, and PJ Walker. So I don't know how long the Will Levis experiment will last, but right now it's not working. I like Jacksonville.
Yeah, Scott, one of the reasons I liked Tennessee on the road last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was because at least Will Levis looked rather comfortable, and we know how good the Titans are as an underdog under Mike Vrabel still at this point. 29-20-1 ATS under Vrabel since he became the head coach back in 2018. They're still, Scott, 26-24 even straight up as the underdog, but I think Jacksonville does find that resiliency here. Now, they've covered, Scott, in all 6 of their wins, 4 of them as the favored side, but they've only been a touchdown favorite one other time this year against another AFC South foe, also in Duval County, the Houston Texans, who won that game, Scott. The Texans did by 20 points, but I think we see a better effort out of Jacksonville on Sunday. Scott, one of those spreads that falls in line with the big numbers we are going to see, one of four with a 9.5-point number or greater, is the largest spread of the Sunday slate. The Dolphins at home, fresh off the bye, a 12.5-point favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders. Scott, this game pretty emblematic of Miami season, right? Before the bye in Frankfurt against a team in the Chiefs that has a winning record, they lose. They are 0-3 straight up and against the spread as an underdog in all three of those games against teams with a winning record this year. Scott, they haven't played a team at even 500, which is what the Raiders are, but they are a perfect 6-0, both straight up and ATS, five times the favorite against teams with a losing sub-500 record this year. It's the biggest spread of the weekend, Scott. Can Miami cover the number?
Yeah, you know, trends say yes. To me, Ben, this is a pick of just, do you buy into Antonio Pierce changing everything around with the Raiders? You know, 2-0, two home wins. Neither one did they look great, but they got the job done. If you buy into that, then you play the Raiders, you know, getting nearly two touchdowns. If you buy into trends, Tua tags and the Dolphins, best home against the spread record out of any team since 2016, 37-20-3. Tua as a double-digit favorite, hasn't been there often, but he's 5-0 straight up, 4-1 against the spread. At home, he's 16-5 against the spread. And this guy's a covering machine. He really is at home. And it just falls into that, you know, Dolphins beating up on the bad teams and then succumbing to the better teams. So I'll say this as far as the West Coast, I'll throw you one positive for the Raiders. Pacific Coast teams playing on the East Coast, which used to be just the death net threat, right? Just there's no way in the world you're going to win. 48-33-3 against the spread since 2019. So they've had a lot of success doing that, but I don't know if the Raiders are going to have it, though. I'm hoping the Dolphins win as a Dolphin fan and cover the number.
Yeah, Scott, when you look at the Dolphins even this year, near this spread, around a two-touchdown favored number, they are a perfect 2-0 ATS. So it's a pretty comfortable spot for this Miami team, playing bad teams, putting up a ton of points, able to blow them out. The Vegas Raiders have been a good story under Antonio Pierce. I still think they will be relatively competitive for the remainder of this year. This is a tough spot on Sunday in South Florida. Next up, Scott, another double-digit point spread in favor of the Cowboys on the road in Charlotte against the Carolina Panthers, a 10.5-point number for Dallas in their favor, the over-under 41.5. Scott, not only is Carolina the worst team in the National Football League with the worst record at 1-8 straight up, they've only covered once this year as well. The worst cover team in the NFL at 1-6-2 against the number. Can they cover as a double-digit underdog at home on Sunday?
You know, I'll give you a positive for the Panthers. If you just hell bent on, I got to bet the Panthers this week. There's something telling me I got to bet the Panthers. Bet them first quarter. They're 8-1 against the spread in the first quarter, for whatever that's worth. I don't bet quarters or even halves, generally speaking, but you know, that would be a positive. Here's the only negative that I see with the Cowboys, because they got a lot of great trends I could bore you with as far as beating up on bad teams. Dak Prescott is like the Dolphins. But one that kind of stood out, Ben, over the last two seasons, Dallas is 3-9 against the spread after winning by double digits. And that, to me, is kind of the character of this Cowboys team we've seen over the years, even more than 2 years. You know, when you expect them to do something, they don't do it. You know, you expect them to beat bad teams. They did against the Giants. But when you expect them again to kind of follow suit, they don't have that consistency. So I might throw just a little wager on Carolina plus the 10.5. That's a lot of points to lay on the road. And when you win as easily as Dallas did last week, it's really difficult, even for good teams, to kind of have that same effort when they're playing a patsy the following week. So I got a funny feeling Carolina's competitive in this game.
Yeah, it's going to be a weird spot, right? Dallas, Scott, has covered in all six of their victories this year, but when they don't cover, it hasn't been a good product, including as a double-digit favorite on the road earlier this year, week number three, against the Cardinals, a 12.5-point favorite against the Cards. They lost outright. Arizona, a two-win football team now, but also booked as an underdog in every game. The same story for the Panthers. Dak Prescott playing at a very high level right now. CeeDee Lamb, Scott, putting up yardage on yardage. His receiving yards prop for Sunday in Charlotte is lofty at 82.5. It might not be enough, though, for how this offense is grooving at this moment. Speaking of those Cardinals, Scott, a 5.5-point underdog on the road in Houston. Scott, the Texans as an underdog this year, sensational. Since week three, a perfect 5-0 ATS, four outright victories. They started off the year 0-2. That's why we start at week number three. But as a favorite this year, Scott, Houston just 1-2 straight up, 0-3 against the spread. It's a different thing to be the huntee, not expected to win the game as the underdog, as the hunted, which Houston is here as a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that like Arizona this week. I'm going to buck that notion. I know that it's very appealing. Kyler Murray's back. They won last week. Beat a halfway decent Falcon team. But they were one drive away from losing that game. It's almost like they're begging to take Arizona here. You know, Texans 12-6 against the spread, albeit, like you mentioned, most of those as underdogs. But I'm going to buy into the whole thing with Houston. I think they're a good team. C.J. Stroud leads the NFL in passing yards per game, over 291 yards. You know, we brought it up last week, and we could take credit, Ben. We brought it up last week. He was 200-1, and we both said, not a bad thing to grab a little piece of C.J. Stroud MVP. If they win this week, blah, 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 right? So they win. He's down to 20-1. Went from 200-1 to 20-1. So give me Arizona, or give me Houston. One thing I'll tell you about the Texans, they better guard Trey McBride. You guys been on fire, the tight end for Arizona. 28 targets the last three games.
On fire, Scott. He has been huge. And in the first game alongside Kyler Murray, putting up huge numbers. Scott, his receiving yards prop 3 weeks ago, I remember because Donnie Wrightside on the early line had it as his favorite yardage prop the Sunday slate, was 32.5. Part of Donnie's reasoning was it was so low, it's all the way up to 55 and a hook for this matchup in Houston. More previews around week 11 coming your way next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle. Still previewing the Week 11 NFL Sunday slate. Going in order, breaking down the games, giving you previews and picks. Scott, next up, it's the Browns and the Steelers. We talked about that game early on with the ramifications of a Thursday night in Baltimore and the Ravens winning that game and improving to an 8-3 mark this year. Baltimore at 8-3, a two-game advantage right now in the win column over both the Browns and the Steelers. A lot will be ironed out around the AFC North this weekend, Scott, but a lot remains unanswered given the uncertain status and the injuries that are now wreaking havoc to key contributors in this division. As we have said, four games, on the Sunday slate feature a 9.5-point spread or greater, including one of those in the nation's capital. The Commanders, a 9.5-point favorite, Scott, against the Giants. The over-under, 36.5. I'll repeat that because it sounds a little bit strange to say. The Commanders, Scott Wetzel, a 9.5-point favorite.
Amazing, right? Amazing. You cannot possibly put American money on the Giants, right? This is clearly a Washington bet or no bet at all. And after watching the Giants and Tommy DeVito play last week, the only caveat I would have to going all in on Washington, Ben, is that DeVito's been so bad for a game and a half that I can't imagine him being able to play the entire way being that bad again. Like somewhere along the line, the Giants are going to have to pull the plug and say, all right, we tried, we failed. Matt Barkley, it's your chance. And not that Matt Barkley is great, but at least he's been in the league 6-7 years. He's got a couple of games under his belt. He ought to be able to run the offense at least a little bit better than what DeVito has shown over the last game and a half. So that would be my only concern. Otherwise, how could you possibly bet the Giants? I think Washington's a great survivor pool pick. Want to put him at a 10-point tease. I'm probably going to do that. Underdogs, I'll say, with an over-under of 42, goofy stat perhaps, but it is what it is. Underdogs, when you have an over-under of less than 42, 32-18-2 this season. But give me Sam Howell. He's number one in passing. He's fifth in passing touchdowns. He's been sacked the most, but I don't think that's going to be a concern this week. So, they really should win this one pretty convincingly.
Yeah, I agree, Scott, which is a crazy thing to say for the Commanders. But, Scott, you highlighted Sam Howell. I couldn't believe the passing yards prop on him. 251.5 is the number. Now, the Giants were pretty good in the secondary earlier on this year, but Wink Martindale has the toughest task each and every week, knowing the offense is going to give you virtually nothing and having to try to hold up somehow, some way. It's not happening. Dak threw for 404 yards last week, and Sam Howell, Scott, has thrown for at least 312 yards in three consecutive games. He's the league's leading passer, and his passing yards prop against the 2-8 New York Giants is 251.5. Scott, it just goes further, by the way, that there might be some changes for Washington at the end of this year. And with Eric Bieniemy starting to get this offense grooving a little bit, maybe he's just trying to keep that job in house. I look at Sam Howell going over 251.5 against the New York Giants. The Lions and the Bears, Scott, an NFC North rivalry on Sunday in the Motor City, a 7.5-point spread in favor of Detroit. Chicago should have Justin Fields back on the field. They are going to use the final few games, Scott, to evaluate what they have at the quarterback position, probably before changing some things around, both in their quarterback and more than likely their head coach with Matt Eberflus moving forward into 2024. Scott, for Detroit, they have covered in all 7 wins this year, 6 of them as the favorite. This a big number, but as a 7-point favorite or more this year, they have covered in both. They have won each game by at least 12 points. An opportunity, Scott, once again, for the Lions to lay the wood and prove we're not just a decent 7-2 football team, we're a really good one.
Yeah, and another test, right? Because they have a big game Thanksgiving Day. So this is the classic look-ahead spot, right, with they playing Dallas coming in. So it's two trains going opposite direction. Bears are awful. 3-17 their last 20, straight up. 4-13-1 against the spread their last 18 games, you know, worst in the NFL. And then you got the Lions, and you mentioned it. You know, 16-3 the Lions are against the spread their last 19 games. Best this year at 7-2. Goff, 20-8 at home against the spread. Dan Campbell, head coach, best against the spread record of 115 coaches that have coached 50 games or more. I mean, it just, you know, Lions going up and the Bears going down. I think you're getting a little bit of a break with Fields coming back. That's maybe kept the number under 10. I don't think it matters. Yeah. To me, he's not any good. Bears coming off a win under Matt Eberflus, as they are. Remember, they beat Carolina that Thursday game. 0-5 straight up and against the spread. They get to win 2 in a row. So, you know what? It's a big number. And I know they play Thursday, but give me the Lions laying to 9.5.
Yeah, I agree, Scott. It really is where things stand for Detroit right now. Each and every week in some form or fashion, Scott, has really been a litmus test for the Lions. If you're a 7.5-point favorite against a bad team, all right, go out and win by double digits. Prove you are one of the best. If you're an underdog against another good team, can you win outright like we saw them do the opening night in Kansas City? Each and every game is that for Detroit. I'd also keep an eye on the over-under. The Bears were over, Scott, in their first 5 games of the year, but under in 4 of their last 5. However, we know the Lions can score. We know the Bears can give up a ton. If Chicago's offense can take advantage of a Detroit defense that's been a little bit up and down this year, 47.5 is that over under. Scott, elsewhere in Santa Clara on Sunday, the San Francisco 49ers an 11.5-point favorite against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the over under 41.5. Scott, it's been a pretty simple story for San Francisco this year. 6 wins, they have scored 30 plus points in all 6 of those victories. They have covered in 5 of the 6. An 11.5-point favorite, Scott, on Sunday in Santa Clara. How do you see the game playing out against Tampa?
That is another one where if you just buy into trends, it's all San Fran. They're going up, Tampa Bay going down. San Francisco 16-3 against the spread their last 19 home games. Overall 30-19. They don't lose with Christian McCaffrey playing, 18-4. Meanwhile, you got the Bucs 7-16-1 against the spread. Baker Mayfield 14-5 under. So maybe under 42.5. Todd Bowles, one of the worst head coaches. We talked about Dan Campbell being one of the best. He's one of the worst against the spread. So to me, this has got San Fran. It's a big number. No one loves to lay, you know, double digits, but I'll say they're 9-1 straight up this year and 7-3 against the spread or double digit favorites heading into this weekend. So they've had a pretty good run. I don't think Tampa Bay can stay competitive for more than a half. So give me San Fran laying the 10, 10.5, whatever you end up getting.
Yeah, Scott, I like Tampa Bay under their team total of 14.5. One thing that really stood out to me, Scott, last week for San Francisco, the offense looked good. Trent Williams was healthy. Debo Samuel found his way into the end zone. Great things for Brock Purdy, right? But the defense had taken a couple of tough outings in that three-game skid, giving up 31 against Cincinnati entering that bye week. Scott, in four of the six wins for San Francisco this year, the defense has held the opposing offense to less than two touchdowns. Again, it's an 11.5-point spread. San Francisco is expected to win the game. Tampa expected to lose it in three of their five losses this year, Scott, for the Buccaneers. They have been under two touchdowns as well. I like Tampa team total under 14.5 points. Scott, it's a dead even pick'em on the money line for our next game up in Los Angeles. The Rams, -108 money line. The Seahawks, -108 money line. Sunday inside SoFi. The over-under, 46.5. Good news, Scott, perhaps for LA, Matthew Stafford is expected to get the start.
Yeah, not too many times you can get a 6-3 football team pick 'em against a 3-6 football team, right? I mean, I don't know if we're quite at that point of the season where what I like to do the last couple of weeks, Ben, is just, you know what, give me the team with the better record, and you'd be surprised, home or away, how many times that team actually wins. The one little thing for the Rams, Sean McVay's had Seattle's numbers against Pete Carroll. Six straight against the spread wins, 9-1 his last 10 against Seattle. But you know what? Chances are pretty good. Matthew Stafford, he may be starting the game, but I got a feeling he won't be finishing it. He is so injury prone at this point. Cooper Kupp, not anywhere close, whatever it's injury or whatever the case may be. The numbers this year are way off. I was buying in a little bit to the Rams earlier in the year, but give me Seattle to get the big win. They need this victory at 6-3. They're a better football team than the Rams, so give me Seattle. Pick them.
Yeah, it's interesting, Scott, right? These two teams faced each other on the opening Sunday of the year. There wasn't a lot of expectation for LA. A lot of people thought they were going to be a bad football team. Seattle had the lead at the break, 13-7. The Seahawks were shut out in the second half. LA scored 23 points. The Rams pulled off a stunner, winning outright as a 4.5-point, 5-point underdog that opening Sunday of the year in the Pacific Northwest. Scott, Matthew Stafford is an absolute warrior. He has played through pain, hurt, injury for many years in his nearly decade and a half long NFL career. We saw that be the case in Detroit. We've seen that here in LA. But it just feels like we're starting to get toward the end. You hope he can be out there. If he is, I would look at Cooper Kupp maybe finding the end zone. The price is just so light at -105, but that really means Cooper Kupp and Matthew Stafford are healthy. It's a game, Scott, I will watch and not necessarily bet. But the Seahawks and the Niners, same record, tied for that top spot, 6-3 in the NFC West. Scott, here's a big one on Sunday in Buffalo. The Bills, a 7-point home favorite against the New York Jets. Of course, there was the disaster against Denver on Monday night, leading to the dismissal of Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, the next afternoon. Buffalo, even 500 this year, Scott, at 5-5 as a touchdown or more favorite, like we saw on Monday against the Broncos, just 1-4 against the spread, and now just 3-2 straight up. Scott, what does Buffalo need to show you on Sunday, if anything, to prove they can be a contender in the AFC?
Score. Give me four touchdowns against a real good Jets defense, right? Not even three. I don't want to see 24-14 or 24-10. I don't want to see them call up the dogs so the Jets can score. Yeah, give me 30-plus points, 27, 28, you know, plus points on a real good Jets team. They should, right? Everything points to Buffalo. They were embarrassed the other night. They lost to the Jets earlier this year. They get their offensive coordinator fired. Someone had to be the scapegoat. It was going to be Ken Dorsey. I mean, just if they can't, and one last time on this, if the Bills can muster up a good effort here, you know, if barely beating the Giants couldn't do it, or losing to this team or that team couldn't do it, if they can't do it now when guys are losing their jobs, then I'll write them off. That it just hasn't been. I mean, you're facing a team in the Jets, Ben, that hasn't scored an offensive touchdown in 36 consecutive drives. That's nearly two games. Their offense is just putrid, right? I mean, so give me the Bills laying the 7 and hope that they finally turn back into the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah. I mean, Scott, for me, on the early line, we have our alt line component of where we give out our picks for the weekend. And this one was my alt line, Buffalo -9.5 at +118. Virtually to say, it's not just about winning this football game, eking out a field goal victory. It's about winning and winning convincingly, covering as a touchdown favorite, and maybe even more so, Scott, going out against a bad New York Jets team that kind of got your year started in the way that we have seen it represented now, right? Four turnovers from Josh Allen, losing outright in a game they absolutely should have ran away with after Aaron Rodgers was injured four plays into the game, to everything we have seen now for this middling Buffalo Bills team at the moment. This is the time to kind of reverse fortune on its head. Win and win big. Finally, Scott, Sunday night football, the Broncos and the Vikings. Denver, a 2.5-point favorite at home. Scott, two of the three hottest teams in the NFL. We'll get your thoughts on Sunday night football on the other side of the break. But there's three teams right now, Scott, in the National Football League that are riding a three-game win streak or better. The Broncos, the Eagles, and the Vikings, the hottest team in the NFL. They've won five consecutive games. A couple of final thoughts for Sunday night football here on Football Full Circle, up next on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. Sunday night football, Scott, the finale of 12 games on the NFL Sunday slate, week number 11. The Broncos and the Vikings, that a few weeks ago, Scott, if we saw this game on paper, Sunday night in prime time, we would have said, okay, this is going to be flexed out, right? We can't actually watch this football game. But now it's got some intrigue to it. Minnesota, Scott, the hottest team in the NFL, they won five straight. The Broncos, one of those two other teams on a three-game win streak or better around the NFL. The Eagles won. The Broncos, the other, they've won three straight. Denver, a 2.5-point favorite, the over-under 42.5. Scott, who wins on Sunday Night Football?
I'm a little surprised the line's as low as it is. I get it. It's Denver, you know, and they've had their struggles, obviously, but they have turned it around. They have won three in a row. They have beaten some pretty good teams. I mean, think about who they beat. They haven't beaten Topeka High. They've beaten Kansas City with Pat Mahomes and Buffalo with Josh Allen. It seems to me if they could beat those two guys and not outscore them, shut those offenses down, they should be able to do that with Joshua Dobbs, right? There's a reason why Joshua Dobbs is in the league, but there's a reason why Joshua Dobbs isn't still with Tennessee, isn't still with Cleveland, isn't still with Arizona. It's because he shows promise, and then once you start buying in, then Joshua Dobbs goes back to being Joshua Dobbs. I got a feeling with all the attention he's received over the last 2 weeks, he's going to go back to being Joshua Dobbs. Give me Denver at home laying less than a field goal. I would grab it now before it maybe goes to three.
Yeah, Scott, at some point, right, Joshua Dobbs has to run out of steam a little bit. This role that he has been in should come to an end. But, Scott, I'm kind of liking Minnesota in this football game, not just because of the role that Josh Dobbs is on currently, but thinking the Denver Broncos have played pretty well in these spots, winning outright as an underdog against the Chiefs and the Bills, but maybe they're playing a little bit above their britches as well. I like the Vikings on the road. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. That does it for us here this week and today on a Football Friday on Football Full Circle. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy week number 11 of the NFL Sunday slate and the second to last Saturday in college football. We'll talk to you Monday, live right here on Sports Grid Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.